Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Nitai Go Premanande. Hare Krishna. Welcome back. Good to see all of you again. I've been feeling separation for a long period of time. Have you all been reading? Keeping up with the reading? Okay. The last 3 years, we have covered the first three volumes of the 10th canto, because it comes in four parts in the new BBT edition. So there's now the final volume, which is around about 20 chapters. We're up to chapter 70, and it finishes in chapter 90. Mm-hmm. And there are 90 chapters in the 10th canto about Krishna's life. So we'll probably speed up a little bit. Normally we do one volume a year, one canto a year, but I think this year we'll probably finish canto 10, maybe two-thirds of the way through or something, and then we'll start canto 11. That's the plan. We'll see what Krishna has in store, because he controls everything. I've tried to speed up in the past and he doesn't allow it, because the Bhagavatam is alive. The Bhagavatam is Krishna, and Krishna ultimately, if he wants us to stay... If he only wants us to finish the 10th canto this year, that's what will happen. But if we start canto 11, that will be his desire and will also. Canto 11 is very important. Actually, very much looking forward. I don't want to finish canto 10, but also canto 11 is very nectarian. So we'll see, well, Krishna. But we may go a little faster. Some chapters don't have a lot of philosophy and a lot of purport, so we may go a little quicker. But there are some very important chapters coming up also, because Krishna meets the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan once again in Kurukshetra. He winds up his final pastimes in the final meeting with the residents of Vrindavan. So there are several chapters which are very important. So we're not going to rush. But at the same time, yeah, we may go a little faster. Canto 11 is the most philosophical part of the Bhagavatam. Perhaps Canto 3 is also, you know, extremely philosophical. So it's one of the most philosophical parts. But Canto 11 is quite often the most heavily quoted of the cantos when it comes to the acharyas enforcing or giving authority to their statements, because Canto 11 in particular has the Uddhava Gita, and there are some very, very deep parts of the canto, extremely deep teachings there. So it will be nectarian either way. No lateness this year, 2019. Okay, it's a new year, a new fresh start. Yeah. Keep your bogus habits behind. Yeah. I mean, Yogi rang me like, you know, quarter to. I know I didn't even pick up the phone because I know what he's going to say, so I'll chastise him. When he, can you chastise him as well?
His father is
here. What?
His parents are having this morning.
Oh, right, this morning. Okay. Stuff like that's okay. But yeah, I know what he's going to do this year. He always rings me at like 10 to 8. So yeah, just chastise him a little bit as well. But I'll have to ask him to be on time. Try to be on time. It just makes it easy, because the topics are deep and it's hard to start and then restart, because, you know, if people come late, then I've kind of got to recover what's there. So it breaks the flow. So try to be on time as much as you can. So the section is extremely important. It is the summum bonum. It's the essence of everything, is the 10th canto. It's Krishna's pastimes. It's the face of Krishna in terms of the Bhagavatam itself. So it needs to be studied very carefully and very deeply. We can't study this superficially. I know for myself, I waited the whole, it took us maybe 10 years just to get to the 10th canto, and then when we finally got there, it had a profound impact on my life the last 3 years, a significant impact on my Krishna consciousness, particularly when we go to Vrindavan and Mayapur and Puri, particularly when you go to those places, because we study Krishna's pastime so deeply. And the 10th canto is entering into the heart of God, the heart of Krishna. We're actually being allowed inside his heart, his inner feelings, his inner desires, his inner emotions. They're being exhibited, especially through the commentaries of the Acharyas, Sanatana Goswami and Krishna Chakravarti Thakur and so forth, and particularly in Ananda Vrindavan Champu. I found that to be the most beneficial work in terms of the commentaries, at least in Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, by Kavi Karnapur. So these are very, very deep things. But so where it's allowed us like an internal revelation or an internal glance into Krishna's feelings. So it's had a profound effect on my devotional life because it's brought me much closer to Krishna. Maybe lock the door, just snip it so it doesn't keep doing that. So, we've heard Krishna's pastimes for years and we've studied them for years and, we try to absorb ourselves, but actually going through it on a very deep level, it is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, on many levels. For me, it'll probably be the only time that I really deeply study the 10th canto. So you don't want to miss anything, in terms of not just missing the classes, but in your own private study, you don't want to miss anything in terms of what's being revealed. So, it's allowed us to understand Krishna on a much deeper level. I feel like I know Krishna much better now. I knew him quite well before, but I feel like I know him much, much better now. And according to our surrender, as Krishna says himself in the Gita, yayatamam prapajanti, tamstataiva bhajamyaham, that's the verse I probably quote more than any other verse from the Bhagavad Gita, that according to how much you surrender, then Krishna reveals himself. So obviously he will reveal himself more and more this year and in the following years if Krishna allows us to continue in our study. So we're getting to know him much, much better. And the whole idea is that we're meant to become Krishna conscious. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. This is the whole purpose. This is why we study the 10th canto in particular. The 10th canto is very confidential, but it allows us to very deeply have access and close proximity to Krishna and his pastimes. Prabhupada says in the first canto that there is no difference, or he says there is all the benefit which you can derive from Krishna's personal association. You can receive the same benefit from studying the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's a powerful statement. Prabhupada says that in the first canto, third chapter of the first canto. Prabhupada says that studying the Bhagavatam, you actually get all the benefit of associating with Krishna directly. It's non-different. And it's extremely powerful to meditate on that. So that's what it is. We're directly getting Krishna's. So you should be feeling this. I expect you are, because if you're not, then you've just wasted 3 years of your life. If you're not getting much closer to Krishna, not just getting close to Krishna, but much closer to Krishna. Because time is short, we don't know how long we've got, practically. So if we're going to study it deeply and get to know Krishna and advance rapidly in Krishna consciousness. Every year I like to go on these retreats for the last 15 years or so and Govardhan Hill with Burujan Prabhu and Sachinandan Swami and Mother Jagatarini and the other Vaishnavas. And Burujan Prabhu said one year, several years back, he said, aim high in your devotional service. Aim high. In other words, the only thing that's stopping us becoming Krishna conscious is ourselves. We don't have a strong enough desire. Otherwise, we would be Krishna conscious. Krishna is not unattainable. Krishna is attainable. Now, you can directly, and Prabhupada actually says, you can become Krishna conscious in a moment. One moment. You can meet Krishna right now. And there's nothing stopping us from meeting Krishna right now, except desire is not strong enough. So therefore, we're not directly meeting. But you can, if you aim high, you know, we should aim high in our devotional service every day, because if you aim high, you know, we're never going to get to the what we're aiming for. So at least if we get to there, you know, we're very close to Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya will take care of the rest. You know, he will, Prabhupada says, he will remove any of the shortcomings at the end and he will bring you directly to Krishna. But you have to aim high. So try to understand Krishna. That's the whole point of studying this. Don't study it superficially. I know life is busy. You know, we're all grihasthas. We've got kids and families and jobs and all these things. And it's busy. You know, any of you experience like that? You know, it's hard to fit in the time, hard to make the time to study, hard to read outside the classes. Have you been reading in the last 3 months since we didn't get together? Hands up, you've been reading regularly? Two of you, three of you, four of you. That's cool. Yeah, but devoted, we do. We struggle to read. I struggle. Like, January is probably my busiest month of the year in terms of my service. Farm is a lot of activity, a lot of events. And very busy time, so I don't get to read a lot. You know, I read every day, but not a lot. You know, now it's slowing down a little bit, so I'm actually looking forward. I can get back, and I've been waiting just to study the course again. You know, the course forces me to study, because then that's my service. I have to prepare. I can't come to class, you know, and then everyone says, oh, you know, what happened in this chapter? And I said, oh, I'm not sure. I didn't have time to read it this week. Well, let's read through it and we'll see what Krishna inspires us to say. You know, that's not going to be very inspiring. So we have to study it very deeply. So make the time to study. And if you say you don't have time, what was Prabhupada's answer? What's that?
Sleep less and eat less.
Yeah, Prabhupada said eat less and sleep less. You don't have time to study, then eat less and sleep less. You've got time to sleep, you've got time to... That was Prabhupada's answer. You know, Prabhupada was sleeping 3 or 4 hours a day and eating not so much, and then that was his answer. Eat less, sleep less. Then you have time. So what we'll do tonight, we'll do an overview of the canto, Canto 10, because it needs to be fresh in our mind before we go forward again, because we need to understand exactly how it's all formulating. Now, we'll start from the beginning. So we covered 70 chapters so far. So there's the first chapter is called The Advent of Lord Krishna. So Krishna appeared in this world. The second chapter is called The Prayer of the Demigods, and the third chapter is called The Birth of Lord Krishna. So the opening three chapters describe how he appeared in this world. Now, what's important for us, because we are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we study the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is the preferred scriptures of all of Lord Chaitanya himself. Now, Lord Chaitanya every day would go to Todagopinath temple, and he would study the Bhagavatam under Gadadhar Pandit, who is none different from Srimati Radharani. So Lord Chaitanya was studying the Bhagavatam himself every day while he was living in Puri. And when he would go to Todagopinath temple, it says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, they would hear the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj hundreds of times. Lord Chaitanya would say, read it again. Sometimes we say, oh, we already heard this. Oh, okay, you heard it, but Lord Chaitanya would say, read it again. No? And Prahlad Maharaj said he heard that pastime hundreds of times. No? So Lord Chaitanya preferred this scripture. And if you look at the Bhagavatam, there are many Puranas. Bhagavatam is one of 18 major, and then there's 18 minor Puranas as well. It's called the Bhagavat Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, if you look at all of the Puranas, the Puranas are meant for the people in the age of Kali, right? Because they're full of stories. Purana literally means ancient. So I mean, they're stories. So these stories have been told by great sages over the years. And these stories are especially meant for the people in this age, because it's easy for us to understand philosophy through a story. So, if you look at all the Puranas, there's Vishnu Purana, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Padma Purana, significant Puranas. None of them have the amount of commentaries on them that the Bhagavatam has. I think the Vishnu Purana or one of the other Puranas has two commentaries. The Bhagavatam has dozens of commentaries, dozens. So this shows it is the most significant of all of the Vedic literatures, because it's been commented upon more than any of the others by far. So it is more significant than the others. Right? It's more prominent than any of the others. And Lord Chaitanya himself preferred it. And his followers, the six Goswamis and their followers, they always quote the Bhagavatam as the final authority. They quote many things, but the Bhagavatam is considered the highest authority. And it's the most quoted. When they want to substantiate a point, they say in the Bhagavatam it says, third canto, chapter 12, verse 8, like that. I mean, I don't even know how they remember. You know, 18,000 verses, and they just pull verses out. You know, it's like, you know, it's another level of scholarship and intelligence compared to what we have. You know, it's something else. So, the Bhagavatam, in the first, we have to study the Bhagavatam through Lord Chaitanya's mood and through his eyes, you could say, or through his mood. It's like in ISKCON, there are so many gurus. You know, Prabhupada Samstakaracharya, which means the founder, right? But there's many gurus, and each guru has a different mood. Now, if you look at all the gurus, they all have different moods. You know, similar and different. You know. So, and we choose gurus according to our mood. You know, we have a particular mood, so we choose our particular guru according to our mood, right? So when you study the Bhagavatam, we're studying it in the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is the supreme founder of this movement. You know, Prabhupada is his representative, but Mahaprabhu, we study the Bhagavatam through Srila Prabhupada, back through the Acharyas, and then through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So they emphasize, there's a particular emphasis in the way they emphasize the pastimes. So the first three chapters speak about Krishna's appearance. But it's interesting, in the Bhagavatam, it's not mentioned that Krishna appears in Vrindavan and Mathura simultaneously. It's not mentioned in the verses. So it's interesting, because in the commentaries, the Acharyas point out, actually, he appeared in Vrindavan and Mathura. Now this is important to understand for us, because we study it through the followers of Lord Chaitanya. Right? The original form is in Vrindavan. Right? We know the pastime when we went, it was a few years ago, but you know, when the Mathura Krishna, when he was taken, Devaki Nandan, right? Vasudev Krishna, when he was brought back into Vrindavan, he merged back into Yashoda Nandana. Nanda Nandana. He merged back into the Vrindavan Krishna. This shows that this is the original form. Ete Chamsa Kalapam Sa. This is the governing verse of the entire scripture, 1.3.28. Right? And it says that he is the original form. It speaks of the Vrindavan form. That's the original form. You must have that clear in your mind. The original form is Krishna in Vrindavan. And you have to study the 10th canto with that Siddhanta, or that correct understanding. The original form is in Vrindavan, because then it opens up everything and you understand it through Lord Chaitanya's eyes. If you have any questions or comments, you can make them as we go through. So then, the atrocities of Kamsa. Kamsa tries to kill Krishna. Yeah. It's just a leela, that's all. It's a leela which begins. There's no Krishna. What's there to fear? Yeah, what's Kamsa? Kamsa's nothing. I mean, in this world, he's something. He's powerful. You know, much more powerful than any demon that we have now. You know, and even back then, he was powerful. You know, we told the story through Kublai P back over the wall. You know, Jarasandha sent Kublai P, you know, the elephant that Krishna ends up killing, sends him through the into Mathura, comes and picks him up and throws him over the wall. There's an elephant that's as strong as 10,000 other elephants. And he just gets thrown. So Kamsa was significant, that he was fearful of Krishna, which shows Krishna's power. The whole point of being in the material world, why are we in this material world? There's only two reasons Prabhupada points this out. You're here to enjoy separately from Krishna. And when you get that out of your system, which is what's happened to us to some degree, it's now you're starting to come back to Krishna. They're the only two purposes. Material world brings you back to Krishna, because when you're a devotee, you suffer. Hands up if you're suffering. Okay, only one person. Okay, now the hands start coming up. I actually am suffering. We're all suffering in this material world. So I know all of you, you're all suffering. I know your lives. So you're all suffering, and why is that? Because we're devotees, so we're meant to suffer. Because the material world, you're either meant to enjoy here, which we're realizing we haven't lost that spirit yet, but we're realizing we can't fully enjoy here, so we're becoming a bit detached. And then the other reason is to bring you back to Krishna. So every time there's suffering in your life, that is Krishna bringing you back to him. Now we're not so demoniac. Not like, I mean, you're very foolish if you think you can be antagonistic or rebellious against God. It's foolish. But everyone in the material world is like that. They're trying to rebel against God. So we just see all through the 10th canto, this demon comes, Pralamba comes, Keshi comes, Arista comes, Vyoma comes, Putana comes, they just all keep coming. It's all senseless. Why are you going to fight with God? Fight with Krishna. But that's what we do in the material world. It's a demoniac spirit we try to fight. So Kamsa is the first. Kamsa is the sum total of false ego. Really big ego. He didn't have to die. All he had to do was say, I'm sorry. And Krishna would have said, no problem. But he wouldn't say sorry, so then Krishna had to kill him. So Kamsa does these atrocities. Then the meaning of Nanda and Vasudev, in which it is disclosed who Krishna is. These things begin to, they come out in the commentaries. The killing of the demon Putana, Trinavarta. Krishna shows the universal form from his mouth. Why does he do all of these different pastimes? To show his supremacy. He's not an ordinary person. He's not an ordinary boy. And each of the demons, as we studied a few years ago, they all represent particular anarthas. Yeah, we all have particular anarthas. So it's interesting. That for us it's interesting to study. I have this anartha, I have that anartha, I have that anartha. How to give them up, Bhaktivinoda Thakur described. So it's interesting for us to understand. Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. That's an interesting chapter. Binding Krishna. That pastime is called Damodar Lila. Damodar Lila is the topmost Lila for those in Ratsayuras. Topmost Lila. So it's a very intimate Lila. It's called Damodar Lila. Then deliverance of the Yamalajun trees, the childhood pastimes of Krishna. Krishna kills Agasura. Brahma stealing the boys and the calves, Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. Now, this is called Brahma Vimohana Lila. Actually, and that's where Prabhupada finished commenting. Good to see you. How is Radhe? Okay, that's good. So then, that's where Prabhupada finished commentary, up to chapter 13. And then chapter 14, the prayers. Very significant, very, very significant prayers. This was Krishna's ultimate display of Aishwarya. That he could bewilder even Lord Brahma. All right. Totally. Vimohana Lila means totally bewildered. You know, sometimes you get bewildered. Sometimes you're like, you know, you lost your watch or something. But, especially when you start getting older, so you get to my age, you know, you forget things. At least once a day you walk in a room and you can't remember why you're in the room. Does anyone have that experience? Even when you're young, you're having it. That's not good. It's Kali Yuga. Once a day, at least. You know, I walk in the room and I'm like, okay. So, like, bewildered. Like that. Lord Brahma was like that. Took some cowherd boys, put them there, went back. Right? Went back. Oh, wait then. Right? They're there. Then, you know, it's like, what's going on? Just like, whoa. Like that. Krishna's Aishwarya. Krishna is showing. So we have to study the Bhagavatam like this. You have to understand this cowherd boy is the Supreme Lord. But then when you become more pure, that Supreme Lord is only a cowherd boy. You don't see him as the Supreme Lord. That's how the residents of Vrindavan see him. That's advanced devotional service, but that's what we're meant to come to. You should feel like a merging of the two feelings. As this is between you and Krishna. This is the very intimate, personal, private thing. It's only between you and Krishna. But you should feel a merging taking place. Because at the moment, our bhakti is very much based on Aishwarya. Krishna is supreme. Right? So, you know, it's very... But you should feel something beginning to shift. You know, it's between you and Krishna. It can't be artificially, you know, sped up or imposed. But you should feel something happening. You should feel like a shift beginning to take place. And then gradually you should feel that intimacy becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, it's like, okay, we see Radha Vallabha, the deities. We bow down, all these things. In Vrindavan, no one bows down. They don't go before Krishna and bow. No one does that. So we do that, but in your heart, you should feel something else beginning to take place. And then one day, you know, Krishna will bring you back to Vrindavan and there won't be any more bowing. You know, because it's all based on love and affection. They don't see him in the morning and bow down. They just run and they embrace him like that. We can't imitate that right now because we don't have that. But we should feel something beginning to manifest. You know? So the Brahma Vimohan Lila is a very important point. In the pastimes, it shows Krishna is supreme. Yet the residents of Vrindavan, they didn't see him like that. Cowherd boys didn't even realize anything had happened because they were just completely absorbed in Vatsalya, Sakya Ras. Then, the killing of Danuka, that was done by Balaram. Because Balaram kills Pralamba and Danuka. What do they represent? Danuka represents that?
Laziness.
Yeah, these things. What's that?
I think Danuka representing the body of false people is the Danuka.
Yeah, different intimate thing. Basically, lust is what keeps us in this world. Prabhupada said, public enemy number one, lust. And Pralamba really represents that. So, the other anattas, Krishna will remove for you, but the particular anattas which Lord Balaram, the demons he killed, and what they signify, you have to remove those things yourself. Krishna will help you on the other anattas, but those particular anattas you have to work on. That means lust. Lust means the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. It's very powerful in this world. Krishna says, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samudbhava. It's the all-devouring, sinful enemy of the conditioned soul. You have to overcome that yourself. So we have to work if we want to understand Krishna's pastimes. Yeah. And then Krishna kills the serpent Kaliya. Now that pastime is very significant in the Ananda Brindavan Champu. What happens after Krishna kills Kaliya? What's that?
First meeting
of? First meeting of gopis and Krishna, specifically Radha and Krishna. Yeah, it's very nice. Good. How do you remember that? From the classes, or you read it all?
Yeah, from the class.
Good. Very good. So, Krishna, after he defeated Kaliya, everyone was down at the Jamuna, and it was late in the day, so to go back all the way to Nandagram, that was a long way, so they camped overnight. And then during the night, while they're camping, everyone was asleep, and then Radha and Krishna, they were sitting up and they were looking at each other. And all the gopis were looking at Krishna also, but they realized at that point how attached he was to Srimati Radharani, because he was kept looking at her. So that's why we have to study Ananda Brindavan Champu, because you have to understand Krishna's heart. When we go back to Krishna, hopefully one day we'll go back and live with Krishna again. We are just servants of Krishna's intimate associates. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, "Gopi bhātu pāda kamala yo dasa dasa anodasa." We're just the servant of the servant of the servant. You have to understand Krishna's heart, because it is revealed in the writings of the Goswamis. In the Kavikarnapur specifically says in Ananda Brindavan Champu, Krishna just kept looking at Radharani. Chandravali was there. Right? The eight principal gopis were there. Who are the eight principal?
Shyama.
Very good. Shyama.
Vajra.
Who?
Vajra.
Very good.
Shaivya.
Very good.
Padma.
Very good. Chandravali. Lalita.
Vishaka.
So these are the eight principal. But they were all there, but Krishna was specifically Radharani. So this is the whole point of the Hare Krishna movement. Right? We have to understand Krishna's heart. Right? Who is most dear to him? It's Srimati Radharani. So we have to cultivate attachment to her. Yeah. Particularly, you know, as time goes by and you become purified in your chanting of the holy name, Cheto, Darpana, Marjanam, first thing Lord Chaitanya says. First verse of the Shikshastika, he says there are seven benedictions in chanting. What's the first one? You cleanse the mirror of the consciousness. What does a mirror mean? Mirror means clean the mirror. Oh, now I can see myself. Who are you going to see? You're not going to see this. You know, when the mirror of the heart gets clean, I'm not going to see. I'm going to look and say, oh, Keshava. Like that. You're a middle-aged, overweight, you know, Australian boy. I'm looking like, oh, that's who I am in the spiritual world. You know, put on a sari and dance with Krishna. And, you know, that's not who we're going to see. Who we're going to see is our Swarupa, our original relationship. So, you know, as you become more advanced and purified, you'll get indication which of the rasas you will serve in. And if it's in the conjugal ras, that means that you will be the ultimately under Srimati Radharani. And the mood of everyone in conjugal ras, which is what Lord Chaitanya most heavily emphasized in his teachings, they all see themselves as assistants of Srimati Radharani. Right? And that's the secret to becoming Krishna conscious. You have to push the other devotees forward. You have to become the assistant of the assistant of the assistant of Krishna, the master of the gopis. Right? It's a consciousness we have to develop. And the more you become serious about Krishna consciousness, the more you want to develop that consciousness. Just being the servant of the servant of the servant of the other devotees. Assisting the other devotees to become Krishna conscious. That's the whole point. If you're not helping the devotees to become Krishna conscious, you'll never become Krishna conscious. Just like I was speaking to one devotee yesterday, and that devotee said, I'm feeling depressed. Right? Which is natural. Do you sometimes feel depressed in this material world? Yeah, sometimes we feel like that. Right? Try not to, but sometimes we feel a bit depressed. But I said to the devotee, the reason you're feeling depressed is you're not concentrating enough on serving the other devotees and assisting other devotees to come to Krishna. Because when you assist other devotees to come to Krishna, you're always blissful and you don't have time to think of your problems. You only get depressed when you start thinking of your problems. Oh, I didn't have this and I didn't get that. No, I can't. Who cares? Yeah. What did my Guru Maharaj tell me upstairs? He said to me, who cares what you want? Just up there, just up in that room up there. I was sitting there with him. He said, why do you want this? And I said, gave my reasons. He said, who cares what you want? Yeah, very important instruction. You know, one of the most powerful and valuable instructions I ever received from my guru. You know, who cares what you want? You know, who really cares? Does it really matter? Does it really matter what I want? Because it's not going to make me happy. What I want will not make me happy. What Krishna wants, what the devotees want, what the guru wants, that will make me happy. So this is what we have to learn to understand these things. So here it is being said that Krishna is when he first really connected with Srimati Radharani in the pastimes. I mean, eternally they're connected, but when they come to earth, that's the first time. Okay. The history of Kaliya. Now he's living over there in Fiji. Lord Balaram slays the demon Pralamba. Krishna swallows the forest fire. The rainy season in and autumn in Vrindavan. And then the Venu Gita. The gopis glorify the song of Krishna's flute. Because now Krishna's of that age. And the gopis, this is when they really begin to enter the Bhagavatam. After the Brahma Vimohan Leela, that's when Krishna becomes a little older, enters Kaishora Leela, and then that's when the conjugal pastimes begin to manifest. So then the Venu Gita, this is one of the intimate chapters. So there's, I think there's five songs within the 10th canto. There might be six, but there's quite a few. So there's the first one, the Venu Gita, right? And then there's the Gopi Gita. There's the Brahmara Gita, the song of the bumblebee. The Yugala Gita, very good. Chapter 35, Yugala Gita, very good. So that's four. Viraha Gita, 39, okay. Viraha Gita. 39, you said? Must be in 39. It's not mentioned here. Okay. So yeah, 39. Right. And then there's Mahishi Gita, which will come up later. Like that. And there's the meeting at Kurukshetra, which we'll cover in the next few months when Krishna and the gopis meet. It's not a song, but very, very intimate chapter. Arguably one of the most intimate chapters of the entire pastime. When Krishna and the gopis meet again at Kurukshetra. Okay. So the Venu Gita, this is when the gopis... So that's why the 10th canto is considered, and the Bhagavatam is considered the highest of all scriptures, because Krishna's relationship with his most elevated devotees is discussed confidentially. But it's also discussed very openly. Krishna's pastimes here with the gopis. So then Krishna steals the garments of the unmarried gopis. The Brahmana's wives are blessed. And then the worshipping of Govardhan Hill and the lifting of Govardhan Hill. This is an ecstatic pastime. And Krishna lifts Giriraj. Now why is that pastime considered extremely special? Yeah, all the rasas are there. Because everyone could be with Krishna all the time. In Ashtakaliya Leela, right, Krishna cannot be with everyone at the same time. he's with the gopis, or he's with his parents, or he's with his friends. It can't all mix. It does mix. I mean, when he has breakfast, everyone's there. You know, his friends are sitting down, his parents are there, right around his serving, that's there, but, you know, it only lasts a certain amount of time. There are times. And in the evening, there's also times when they get together. But at Govardhan Lila, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 24/7, Krishna was with the gopis and his parents and his friends simultaneously. So the mood under the hill was incredibly festive, right? And it was ecstatic under the hill. And everything was completely comfortable, everything was blissful. You know, no one was hungry. You know, there's beautiful fountains with water to drink. The cows had fields where they were eating barley and, you know, enjoying themselves. There was no anxiety under the hill. Outside the hill, there was total anxiety. You know, Indra was trying to kill everyone in Vrindavan and flood the whole place. There was waters. It's like a flood. It's like up in North Australia at the moment, there's floods. You saw in the news, Townsville, and, you know, flooding, you know, water going down the roads. You know, like, so it was like that. Vrindavan was like flooding, but under the hill, there's nothing. You know, Sudarshan Chakra was moving around the hill, evaporating all the water, so it couldn't come under the hill. The big serpent, Anantasesh, it was a Vasuki, one of the big serpents, was wrapping itself around, so the water wouldn't come under the hill. Indra was just getting frustrated. So it was an amazing pastime, Govardhan pastime, very ecstatic pastime. Then, wonderful Krishna, and then Lord Indra and Mother Surabhi offer prayers. The pastime goes on for about four chapters, the Govardhan Lila, such a significant pastime. Krishna rescues Nanda Maharaj, and then finally chapter 29. Chapter 29 is called?
Krishna and the Gopis meet
for the Rasa dance. That goes for five chapters. Now, those five chapters are considered to be the smile. The tenth canto is the face. So you see that canto one and two, the feet. Three and four, like the legs. Five, like the waist. Six, right? Seven, eight. 9, 10, 11's the eleven's the forehead, 12 is the helmet. Okay. So the face is the most beautiful part of the physiognomy of the body, like that. And the smile is the most beautiful. If someone smiles, they become beautiful. Even an ugly person smiles. The fact, even someone's ugly, when they smile, they're beautiful. So it's a fact. When someone smiles, they become beautiful. So 29 to 33, that is Krishna's smile. It's important to understand, because the whole point of studying the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, is to understand God. What makes God smile? When Krishna is with his most intimate friends, it's not about lust. That's why Lord Chaitanya would not discuss it publicly. That's why the public cannot understand it. That's why we cannot understand it. That's why the demigods could not see the gopis. They looked down, they saw millions of Krishnas dancing. They couldn't see any gopis dancing because there was lust in their consciousness. Right? It's not lust. It's about friendship. They would do anything for Krishna. Right, when you're close to someone, you'll do anything for them. That's love. That's friendship. So this is the intimacy in the relationship, right? So in the five chapters, you see the most intimate relationship Krishna with his cowherd girlfriends. He calls them, come. How does he call them? Plays the flute. And when they hear the sound of the flute, they hear their names.
Radhe Bishake Lalite
Chandravali. Yeah. All them come. So everyone comes, and then he says, "So what are you doing here?" Huh? And they go, "I'm very upset." Well, it's a very intimate pastimes. I mean, take their male female lusty kind of thing out of it. It's just intimate. If you just study the emotions, very intimate pastimes between Radha and Krishna and the gopis. So these five chapters, very intimate to understand. So then, Nanda Maharaj saved and Shankarchuda is slain, which is also a nice chapter. The gopis sing of Krishna as he wanders in the forest. That's called the Yugala Gita. That's another intimate chapter. The slaying of Arishta, and that's where Radha Kund manifests. So that's also intimate. Because Radha Kund actually manifests, Krishna's most intimate pastime place. Right, interesting. It manifests, but then he has to leave not long after it manifests. The slaying of Arishta, the killing of the demon Keshi and Vyoma, and then Akrura arrives in Vrindavan. Right, so we read that pastime and we studied it very deeply when Akrura came into Vrindavan. If we had any purity, and if we had any advancement, we would have cried when we hear that. But maybe some of you did cry hearing that and reading that. If you read that pastime and tears aren't in your eyes, it means your heart is steel framed. Second canto of the Bhagavad Gita says, your heart is made of steel. We chant the holy name. If tears don't come from your eyes when you chant the holy name, Bhagavad Gita says your heart is made of steel. So if you read that pastime, Krishna leaving Vrindavan and nothing happens, then your heart is made of steel. Akrura comes and he takes Krishna and Balaram. Then the next chapter is Akrura's vision. So very important to understand, Krishna does not leave Vrindavan. How does Prabhupada explain it? Vasudev Krishna leaves. And then what happens to him? Yeah, Prabhupada said he enters into the hearts of the bridge buses. So it's called Aprakat and Brakat Lila. So he's still there, but he's not manifest. Prabhupada also says he hides behind a tree. He's there, but he's hiding behind a tree. Prabhupada said when he did Brajmandal Parakram, Prabhupada walked around Vrindavan, did Brajmandal, he said, "I expected at every moment Krishna to step out from behind a tree." Prabhupada said that. Because when you're in Vrindavan, you can feel Krishna is there. And when you become advanced, you expect him to step out from behind a tree at any moment. Where is he? Where is he? He Radhe Brajadevi Ke Chalalite He Nanda Suno Kuta Kuta, where are you? Where are you? That's the mood of the advanced devotees. So he doesn't leave Vrindavan. It's very important to understand this point. It's intricate. Because now, what we're studying now, Krishna's right out in Dwarka. But this is why you have to understand. And I understood up until when I started studying the 10th canto a few years ago. I always thought the Vrindavan pastimes are the most ecstatic pastimes. And they are. But since I've studied the Bhagavad Gita, that's why you have to study it deeply. Because since I've studied it, I realize actually it's more ecstatic when he leaves. Because the whole time he's left, he's only thinking of them. And that's the entire teaching of Lord Chaitanya, Vipralamba Seva. Service in separation. Yeah, it is. That's more ecstatic. And I never really understood it very well. But when I studied it, then I thought, oh, now I understand it. I don't understand it deeply, but at least now it's much, much more, it's very ecstatic when he's not in Vrindavan. And that's why the meeting in Kurukshetra, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Prabhupada's guru, says that is the most ecstatic part of all of Krishna's pastimes in Kurukshetra. He said Kurukshetra is actually the topmost because they haven't been together for decades. And then finally they come back. Yeah. And then the acharyas say actually they do see each other in between. Right. And then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says Radha and Krishna actually see each other every day. He comes back every day because their love is so strong he's forced to come back every day. So then, Akura's prayers, Krishna and Balaram enter Mathura. What happened? The first night they arrived there, they went into the city. They caused a little bit of a few problems. What did he do the first night? And he broke the bow. First night. Walks in, breaks the bow. Right. And then actually says he had a 2-hour fight. Goes in the city. Has a, you know, boys are like that. You know, like go in, have a fight, 2 hours, kill hundreds of Kamsa's soldiers, 2 hours of fighting. And then he goes out. Right. But the interesting thing to understand, and we have to understand, that's why you have to study it. You know, that's why, you know, today I was going through it. You have to always keep because when we study during the year, we're kind of going through chapters over months at a time. And sometimes we lose the continuity of what's actually happening, how Krishna is feeling. We have to understand, he went into Mathura, the day before he'd left Vrindavan. That day he'd left Vrindavan. And remember when he left Vrindavan? Do you remember what happened when he drove out on the chariot? Does anyone remember the details of when he physically left on the chariot?
The gopis are trying to stop him.
Yeah, they attacked Akura. They tried to kill Akura. Right, I mean, literally kill him. You know? But then what actually happened to Krishna? Krishna was unconscious. He fainted. He was it was so much for Krishna, so much separation. He passed out. Balaram was sitting next to him. Balaram was holding him up, like holding him. And Krishna was unconscious. And Balaram, that's how he left Vrindavan. So he's got out of Vrindavan. He's come back to consciousness. He's in such a state of pain and separation from the gopis in particular and all the residents of Vrindavan. Takes a bath, goes out, and there he's, I mean, you can say it's the second form, but the second form, even though the original form, the second form is stricken with separation from Vrindavan. And then he goes in and kills everyone, does all these things, but then he comes back and says the whole night he's awake. They set up a camp and he's in the back of a wagon. Like a bullock cart, and the bullock cart, you know, like the bullock carts have like a tent on top. So he's in the bullock cart. He lays there the whole night next to Balaram, and he cries the whole night. That's where Krishna, you know. So we have to always remember. That's why we have to study this carefully. We have to always remember what Krishna is going through. Well, my guru says, who cares what? If we actually have some advancement, we only care what Krishna is feeling. Who cares what we're feeling? Because what we're feeling doesn't make any difference anyway. It doesn't mean anything. Oh, you know, devotees, sometimes you see devotees, they get so upset. You know, who cares? It doesn't mean anything anyway. Oh, this happened and that happened. That devotee said that to me. Not talking to me. You know, some of the devotees, they speak, who cares? Really, who cares? You know, why don't you get absorbed in what Krishna is feeling? That's what's important. If we have some advancement, all we care about is what Krishna is feeling. Right? Krishna is feeling intense separation. That's what's important. Why we're in the material world? Because we're absorbed in Maya, in this false, you know, drama. And how's the false drama? What's that like so far? How are you enjoying it? Right. What you know, me and my good friend, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, what were we saying just before everyone came here? It was just you and me. We said a few things, but
boring.
Yeah, I said how are things going? Then before he even answered, I said boring, right? He said yeah, and I said yeah, it's this world's boring. There's only one thing as well that's exciting, is preaching. Huh? Your life's enjoyable? Not boring, right? No, it's not, right? Because you're out on Harinam every day, all over the universe, right? So, you're trying to get to other planets. It's a little bit hard, but right. No, but it's not boring, because, you know, but for everyone else, it's boring as anything. The only thing, if you don't preach, there's no life. Grihastha or Brahmachari or Brahmacharini or Sannyasi or Vanaprastha, it doesn't matter. If you're not preaching, this place is boring. It's the most boring place in God's creation. Right? He made it that way to frustrate the hell out of you, so you want to get back. Even I was driving up here tonight, you know, I'm driving, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's the most boring place I've ever been in my life. You know, just driving through Laverton and all these places. And what do people do? What are they all doing now? They're sitting there watching television and, oh, that must be really exciting. Or on your phone or something like that. Just, what are you doing with your life? You know, at least Christmas pastimes is some excitement. That's why I couldn't wait to get here, because I mean, just getting to Christmas pastimes. You know, as soon as I finish the class, I go back out and all the material is going to jump back on us again. You know, people are going to ring you and, you know, it's all these things. But, you know, the material world, there's no life in this. So Krishna is feeling, he's entering Mathura, he's feeling incredible separation. So then, he breaks the sacrificial bow, he kills Kuvalaya P, he kills Kamsa, which is a whole pastime. Bhagavatam only gives like a small description of killing Kamsa. Killing Kamsa was a whole lila. Krishna, it's 2 hours, the fight between Krishna and Kamsa. Krishna rescues his teacher's son. Who is his teacher's son? Sandipani Muni's son. What's his name? Madhu Mangala. You know Krishna's friend? That's who he is. Madhu Mangala. So then the Bhagavatam comes to life. It's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. It doesn't say it's Madhu Mangala, but that's who it is. If you think it's Madhu Mangala, then it becomes ecstatic. Because Madhu Mangala is blissful. Uddhava visits Vrindavan, and then the Song of the Bumblebee. They're extremely intimate chapters, extremely, you know, arguably the most intimate chapters. Radharani going mad, feeling separation from Krishna. You have to study that very deeply. Those things we can't understand. I mean, it's like Mount Everest. You know, it's 29,000 feet above where we're on sea level. We're probably about 10 feet above sea level right now. We're talking about 29,000 more feet. That's Mount Everest. That's where Radharani's consciousness is. When she's speaking to a bumblebee, thinking it's Krishna, and the bumblebee is Krishna. Right? It's incredibly interesting. So if you study it with some sincerity, you get some realizations. Krishna pleases his devotees. The crew is missioning in Hastinapur. Krishna establishes the city of Dwarka. So he spends 18 years in Mathura and then he goes to Dwarka. Right? The deliverance of Muchakunda, Rukmini's message to Lord Krishna. So then, in the chapters that follow, Krishna marries the 8 principal queens, and the 8 principal queens are the 8 principal gopis. It's very intimate, all of this stuff, and we went through it as well as we could. The queens are the gopis, right? They're an expansion, obviously. It's not like, you know, Vasudeva Krishna is not the original Krishna of Vrindavan. Rukmini is, or say Satyabhama is an expansion of Radharani. It's not fully Radharani. It's very intimate, all of these things. And then there's pastimes later on where the gopis come to Dwarka and they meet, so the gopis come, and they're not even the original gopis, like the expansion. So Radharani comes, and then Radharani's there as Satyabhama. It's very intimate, all the very intricate. Now, especially Shivaram Swami's book, Krishna Sangati. Any of you reading that one? Yeah, try to read that, because that really explains it all. How all this works, very intricate what goes on like that. So basically Krishna's collecting the queens, he's collecting the gopis. So he is with them, he's not with them, it's all very intimate. And there's, you know, there's probably a dozen ways to explain it. How he is with them, how he's not with them, and then he's with them but not with them. The separation, you know, there's so many forms of Krishna. Krishna is not just one Krishna. There's Krishna in union, Krishna in separation, Krishna's expansion and separation. It's very intricate. So study it, try to understand it as much as you can. So then Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. The marriage of Krishna Rukmini, Prajumna, the Shamantaka jewel, which is also the Shamantaka jewel, there's a whole pastime. Where did that jewel come from?
Surya.
Yeah, but then it came from the head of Shankachuda. Remember there's a pastime back there after the Rasa Leela? That's actually, the jewel came from there. Krishna gives it to Balaram because he doesn't want to upset the gopis. Balaram gives it to Radharani. Radharani apparently commits suicide within the Jamuna. Sun god takes her. She gives the jewel to the sun god. She comes down as Satyabhama. Sun god sends the jewel down through Satrishi. It's like the whole pastime going on here. Bhagavatam doesn't mention all the details, but there's a whole pastime. Satyajit gets murdered. Krishna marries five more princesses, kills Narakasura. Krishna teases Rukmini. Lord Balaram kills Rukmi. The meaning of Usha and Aniruddha. Krishna kills Bhamasura. The deliverance of Nriga. Balaram goes to Vrindavan. That's a very intimate chapter. It's a beautiful chapter because it ignites Vrindavan when Balaram goes back there. Pondraka gets killed. Balaram kills Dwivida. Samba gets married. Narada visits Dwarka. And that's where we're up to. So does that give you an idea of where we're up to? So tomorrow night we'll begin the chapter which is called Lord Krishna's Daily Activities. So you get to see what God does every day when he's living in Dwarka. Very different to what he does in Vrindavan. But that's where we'll begin. Srila Prabhupada ki.